Hello, everybody. This is Terry Latham, Triple Diamond out of Austin, Texas. Just want to welcome everybody to our call this evening. My wife and I have been a part of ASEA for now 3 years. It's been one of the most fascinating rides we've ever had. It's just been absolutely just fantastic. Tonight, I almost like to refer to this as Monday Motivation. And you know, I reached out to a good friend of mine and one of my mentors in this business, Alan Noble. And he's going to be on the call with us tonight. Now, Alan Noble's a Triple Diamond. He's a chairman of the council, of our global council. He's a million-dollar earner in this company. And that's not only has an accumulative earnings, but he does that on an annual basis. But guys, I got to tell you, when it comes down to this, he is the face of Amazing Molecules. He's done just amazing amount of work to help us get this thing kicked off. But he's been here since the inception, and he's seen a lot with what it has become from where it started to what it has become and where it's going. So I ask Alan to come on tonight and share a little bit with us. But Alan, before we get into this, if you don't mind, a lot of people don't know. They know the voice, they know your success here, but they really don't know a little bit about yourself. So if you wouldn't mind, before we kick this thing off, can you share a little bit about your background and what brought you to ASEA before you got here?
Well, sure. Thank you so much, Terry. I appreciate you having me on the call. And just before I do that, just let me kind of reciprocate some nice words to you. And I genuinely mean this. Terry Latham is just, he is just one of the top leaders in this company. His vision for this company, his ability, his knowledge of the network marketing industry, his ethics, his integrity. I've just really enjoyed working with Terry in the field, and then as part of the advisory council. We choose our advisory council members very, very carefully, and Terry has just been a fantastic addition on the advisory council with his insights, but also doing the right thing. So, hey, it's a real privilege for me to be here, Terry, and I have the utmost respect for you and the incredible team and leaders that you're building here. So thank you for having me on the call. As far as my story goes, plus you're a good old Texan as well. So us Texans, Terry, we have to stick together. So I guess that's where it starts. I actually live in Dallas, Texas, but I'm originally from Ireland. And for those that don't know my story, I graduated with a degree in international finance from Queen's University, Belfast. And I graduated, and I got to be careful saying this. I don't want to come across like, you know, I'm boasting or bragging, but the truth is I graduated top of my class. You know, I didn't scrape through, and I could have walked into pretty much any career in financial management, fund management, investment analysis, stockbroking, whatever. I'm good at math. I'm good with numbers. But there was something stirring in my gut. While the rest of my team, while the rest of my class were all excited going for their job interviews, getting into the real world, there was this sinking, nauseous feeling in my gut, and it wouldn't leave me. Now, it was only about 15 years later that I actually heard the term and got diagnosed, and it was called psychologically unemployable. That's what I had. I had a condition of being psychologically unemployable. And as a 22-year-old kid, I'd never really given it much thought, and yet the idea of clocking in and clocking out for the next 40 years just left me nauseous. And I'll never forget the one and only interview I ever went for, job interview. I got through to the third level with Guinness, the famous Guinness in Dublin, every Irishman's dream job. And I got in a financial management accountancy position in the final rounds. And I can remember sitting in the big mahogany office in the belly of the beast in Dublin, St. James's Gate, Dublin. And you could smell the hops in the air from the Guinness being made. And this big mahogany wall panel and all these oil paintings of the Guinness family. And I was doing great in this interview. They were basically saying, hey, Alan, this is fantastic. Do you have any last questions for us? And I'll never forget kind of putting my hands on the table, standing up, pushing my chair back. And I said, nope, I think we're just about done here. And that was my last job interview at 22 years of age. And at that point, there was just something stirring in me to be an entrepreneur. And it was actually at that time, I don't believe in coincidences, things show up when you're ready. And ASEA has shown up into your life because you're ready. And network marketing showed up in my life at 22 years of age. And the moment I saw the network marketing business model, that was it. I knew. Here was I couldn't understand why they didn't teach me these concepts of leveraged income, of residual income, and now with the internet, this incredible opportunity for global income. Why was I not taught this stuff in economics? Why weren't they showing me these ideas in finance? Why weren't they teaching me these basic wealth principles? And I was just blown away by this industry. And I read a little book called The Boom Business of the 90s. You can't get it anymore. I read that book cover to cover one night, and I could not sleep. I couldn't sleep for about 2 weeks, and I just knew that I had found my calling as an entrepreneur. This is what I wanted to do. And then the struggle began, because I was a book smart 22-year-old kid with really no skills in communication or connecting with people or anything else. I was a very shy person. When people hear that, sometimes they're surprised. For people who know me better can kind of see that, but I actually was a very shy person. I wasn't a people person. I wasn't a party person. I would shake like a leaf if I had to speak at the front of the room. And so that was my entry point into network marketing. In fact, I'll tell you a story. I don't know if I've really even told this. When I had to make the list of names, I had to make a list of my dad's names, my dad's family and friends. And then I got my dad to make the first calls for me. That's how scared and petrified I was of the £1,000 phone. And it's amazing looking back, Terry, over the last 22, 23 years, of this industry truly is what we become in the process. You can take it all away. You can take it all away, but what you can't take away are the skills. You can't take away the skill sets. You can't take away the character that you develop in the process. It's why we say believe, belong, become. It's what you become in the process. This idea that network marketing is a journey of personal development, cleverly disguised as a business. And for me, that is certainly true, and I know for many on the line that is true. But I started my time as 22 years of age, flat broke, no communication skills, quivering like a leaf at the front of the room, having my dad make my phone calls for me. So there you go, Terry. That was the beginning.
Well, take us kind of through the journey, because, I mean, 22, I mean, if I just go back 5 years, I mean, you weren't 27 when you started this. So you've had some experience in network marketing. You also even left the industry for a while and got back into the finance. Talk about that and then to your introduction of ASSE and what brought you here.
Well, sure. Let me kind of give you the Cliff Notes version up to ASSE, because it's the ASSE part's the important part. But, you know, I had some success in the industry. I finally kind of figured out the mindsets and the skill sets of this business. I became a student of the game. I was listening to the CDs. I was tuning into Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn. I became a student of personal development. I will tell you one thing. There was one time I was in Ireland. I was in this struggling place. I was in my mid-20s, and there was an event on. And it was the company's convention. Now, this company was very well established. It was 20-plus years old, and they did two conventions a year. They did their big one and then their slightly smaller one. And so this was the slightly smaller one. It was the fall convention, not the spring convention. And you could kind of maybe think of it as one of our Envision conferences or something like that. And nobody in Ireland was going. Nobody. And I really didn't have the funds to go, but there was something in me that said I had to go. And that was a pivotal moment for me. I ended up being the only person in Ireland going to that event all by myself. And it changed me. It absolutely changed me. When people say leaders are born at big events, I can absolutely vouch for that. I came back. I went an associate, and I came back a leader. And I can look at that experience as an absolute pivotal turning point in my network marketing career. I don't think if I'd made that commitment that I'd be on this phone talking to you today. I really don't. And so that's just kind of a very quick plug for our regional events and our convention coming up in 2016. It can be absolutely life-changing. But, you know, for me, Terry, you know, I often say to people, I love the business model of network marketing. I love the concepts of leveraged income, residual income, global income, but I don't always like all the companies in the industry, and I think there's an important distinction there. you can like the industry, you can like the business model, but not necessarily like all the companies in the business model. And I came to a place where I actually began to get a little disillusioned. It was in the decade of the exotic juices. I believe there were 82 exotic juice companies moving their juices through the network marketing industry, whether it was acai juice or noni juice or mangosteen juice or goji juice or the Himalayan blackcurrant juice or the New Zealand whatever juice. All of these juices all playing this my daddy can beat up your daddy game. You know, my juice is stronger than your juice. And to me, I just stood back and I said, this is a circus. And again, forgive me if it sounds arrogant, but I said, I'm too good for this game. I do not need to waste any more time playing this circus. And so the other thing was I really couldn't find a company I could trust. Anytime there's a lot of money to be made, anytime there's people making millions a month or millions a year, whatever it is, greed can set in. Principles are thrown by the wayside. And I decided that I was going to exit out of this industry until I could find a company that had an absolutely exceptional, unique product, a one-of-a-kind, something that was never seen before. Now, we use terms now like category creator. I came up with this phrase, a solo voice rising above a crowded choir, a story that has never been told before. These are phrases I use to describe the ASEA technology, but that in the back of my mind of what I was looking for. I didn't want to play the me too, same old, my daddy can beat up your daddy game. I was looking for that truly exceptional product. Not good, not great, but exceptional. And the second thing, I had to find a company I could trust. You can have the greatest product in the world, but if the company behind it is not trustworthy, and if they're not focused on being a legacy company long-term, doing the right thing, then what's it all for? It's for nothing. Okay? If the company goes out of business, you're out of business, no matter how good the product is. And so that's what I was looking for. And for about 8 years, I couldn't find it. And so I went and did other things, and I started building a financial services company in Denver, Colorado. And it was at that time that my father got very sick with a very serious health challenge. He got very sick in February of 2009, and by May, I had started a very aggressive search looking for something that could help my father's body heal. And that search led me to hear about redox signaling molecules. And I can still remember where I was. It was a Thursday in May. And I can still remember exactly where I was standing in the patio of my apartment in Denver, Colorado, when I first heard the words redox signaling molecules. And the fact that I can remember that is just, I think, proof that for some reason I knew that was going to be a pivotal day in my life. And 5 days later, I paid for a flight my own dime. There were no fly-ins. Even if there were, I wouldn't have qualified because I'd been out of the game too long. So I paid for my own flight to get to Salt Lake City. And I met Virtus, and I met Jim Pack, and I met Dr. Gary Samuelson, and I met the only two other corporate executives, Kurt Richards and Justin Wilson. Kurt Richards now the executive VP, and Justin Wilson, the head of Europe. And I met these guys. And I got told the story. I got told the Genesis story long before videos were ever made of the plane and the hangar. I just heard the raw story. I heard the raw emotion behind the story. And I got to tell you guys, I think one of the mistakes that we make, I'm going to be very transparent, one of the mistakes that we make is we way overcomplicate this technology. It's dead simple. It's much more simple than any vitamin or mineral I've ever marketed. It's more simple than any nutrient product I've ever marketed. These are molecules that literally help your cells work properly. And everything is cellular. And as we get older, you make less of them, and this is the only way you can refuel your cells with these molecules. They're foundational to cellular efficiency. And when you fuel your cells up, you begin to feel like you did when you were younger. You look like you did when you were younger. You perform as an athlete like you did when you were younger. It's profound. It's simple. And we get so lost in the science that sometimes we get in our own way. But I saw it very quickly, Terry, that this was a remarkable technology, that this was the exceptional technology, the exceptional product that I'd been looking for, a one-of-a-kind, that solo voice. that head and shoulders above the crowd, the story that had never been told before. I'd finally found it. And there was the company beside it, Virtus Norton. And anyone that's met Virtus knows that he just resonates with integrity, with honesty and sincerity. And again, I heard the Genesis story in a very raw way, and it just connected with me. And I said, okay, if they were willing to turn down, you know, so many companies go out there and they put the PowerPoints up, honesty and integrity, but we don't have to just put it in a PowerPoint slide. We've actually got the real story to prove. See, actions are stronger than words. Any company can say, oh, you know, our management team is experienced with honesty and integrity, but can they actually prove it in actions? And we can. And I believe in the law of attraction. I believe that birds of a feather flock together. I think we've all been attracted to ASEA because this integrity is important to us, because the exceptional technology is important to us. And so, Terry, I finally find it. I finally find the company that satisfied the two criteria, an exceptional, unique product with a company that I could absolutely trust, that when I lay my head in the pillow, I'm not worried about them going out of business, making a stupid mistake, doing the wrong thing, cutting us off because of profit. If they'd wanted to do that, they would have taken the $1 million or the multi-million dollars and run. And I think it's important, Terry, I'll say this last thing. I think it's really important that people understand the profound impact of when they said no to the payout. You've got to understand, when they say no to the payout, it's because they valued this technology and how it could change lives. And because our job is to go out there and tell the world about this technology, therefore, do you see how much value they place on us? We are valuable to this corporation. And when you work in the advisory council, you begin to see this interaction where we believe that this company is a corporation. It's corpus. It's a body. And the heart isn't more important than the lungs, and the lungs not more important than the heart. They're both equally important. And corporate and field work together in harmony because there is value. And I've never felt so appreciated in this industry as I do in ASEA. And it's nothing to do with rank. It's nothing to do with titles. It's because we feel valued and appreciated because we're bringing Virtus Norton's dream come true, to bring this technology to the marketplace, to change lives. So I guess, Terry, you know, a lot of when people are new in the business, I'll ask them, they'll sometimes stop me at a convention or something and say, hey, give me that one piece of nugget. Give me that pixie dust, that pixie dust that you can just pop over me that will change everything for me. You know, what's that one magical piece of advice? And I ask them, are you new to the industry? Is this your first company? And if they say yes, my advice is always the same. Don't you dare take this for granted, because not all companies are built this way. Don't you dare take it for granted. Don't take this product technology for granted. Don't take our company and our integrity and principle-driven management. Don't take it for granted, because it's actually a very rare thing. And that's always my advice. And so I'd say it to everybody. Don't take it for granted. Sometimes you got to kiss a few frogs to find your princess, and kissing those frogs allows you to appreciate the princess even more. What's really dangerous, if you have never had the taste of frog in your mouth, then you can't appreciate the princess. So with that, over to you, Terry.
Hey, Alan, you know, you're hitting some good things. You know, when I asked you, especially your journey into ASEA, you hit some clear things that people need to catch. You made a commitment to fly over from Ireland to a convention that changed everything for you, which really kept your journey going on, and always to believe in with what we're doing. And I think it's, as you talked about the genesis, when you met and you got committed, I think it would be important for people to understand, and I'll share this a little bit on last week's call. When people have always shared with me, find somebody with network marketing experience, I like to let people know, people, when you find somebody with network marketing experience, doesn't mean they bring a ready-made network with them. That's what people's perception always is. It means they understand this is work. It's not a lottery ticket. So, Alan, if you wouldn't mind, when you first got going, because when you got going, there was actually nothing. And you had a full-time career, you had a family, you had everything going. I mean, you had really no time. Kind of share with your commitment level. I mean, what you had to really do, because you just weren't born a triple diamond. Kind of share with you where you are and to what you were able to do up here in Dallas with your new home. I'd love for people to hear that.
Well, sure. Again, once you, I think it starts with understanding just how unique this is. I think the more you understand how unique it is to find a technology like this and how profound and powerful this technology is, and that is you know, it hand in hand, here's this great company. And guys, don't let me pretend that they walk on water and that they're perfect. You know, every company's going to make mistakes. We're all human. But their intentions are pure. And if that sounds a little, you know, little Sunday schoolish, I don't actually apologize, because we need more of that in corporate America. And their intentions are pure. And I think, first of all, when you understand and you appreciate that and you understand the value that that has, the tremendous value it has, you grab hold of it and you get to work. And so you then have to have the desire. You know, I often talk about building a business as a little bit like, you know, planting a tree and watching that tree grow. But what's important to the tree? If that tree is going to really stand the test of time, you want to build an oak tree that's going to be there, you know, 100, 200 years from now. The single most important thing that's going on with that oak tree is beneath the surface. It's the root system. And we have two main roots in this business. We've got the root of desire, and then we've got the root of belief. And my belief was rock solid when I met that when I met corporate in May 2009. It was rock solid. I really believed this was a technology that could help my father. I really believed that Virtus Norton was somebody that I was willing to follow. I'll tell you a little caveat here. For the first time in my life, these strange words came into my head when I met Virtus, and that was, I wouldn't mind working for this guy. Now, I'd never thought those words before. Remember, I'm psychologically unemployable. Those words don't come into my head. I work for myself. And yet, when I met Virtus in May 2009, I can remember this little voice saying, I wouldn't mind working for this guy. And so I had total belief in who and what ASEA was, that this was the vehicle. But you can have the best vehicle in the world. You can have the Tesla of the most amazing Tesla, Ferrari, Lamborghini, Merc, BMW, whatever the flavor is. You can have the vehicle. But if you've got no gas in your tank, you're not going anywhere. And your desire is the gas in the tank. That's what's important. How badly do you want this? Do you have something that's going to move you? You know, Tyler did a wonderful training on the six D's that many of you saw. It was probably the big aha moment for me in 2015, this idea of what is it that you desire? And are you willing, you know, to write that declaration to yourself of what you desire? And, you know, I had some very, very strong reasons to do this. I was very unhappy where I was. I had I was in a business relationship with somebody that, let's just say, the opposite of everything I've been praising ASEA for. And I was kind of find myself in a really difficult situation. When you're starting a company, you're always last to be paid, and I find myself in that situation. I was financially embarrassed. I'll tell you that, you know, I was paying my rent with my wife's credit card. I had a 10-month-old baby, now 7 years of age, Lauren, but she was 10 months back then. And I was fairly newly married, you know, just under 2 years married. And this was kind of an embarrassing situation. I'd brought my wife out from Ireland. I have a brand new baby, and I can't pay my bills. And the best way I can say it is I was just financially embarrassed. And that hit me hard. And so I saw this as a lifeline. And so I can tell you, I had my desire. I had so much fuel in the tank, I needed a spare tank. And so here I was with the two perfect roots of everything you could look for. You got the belief and you've got the desire. And I really believe that's the starting place. And so from there, the next thing was just purely the mechanics of what to do. You've heard the saying, if your why is big enough, the how to takes care of itself. You'll figure it out. I mean, you'll figure it out. But you got to have the belief and the desire so you stay in the game long enough until you do figure it out. And sometimes figuring it out just simply means learning to get out of your own way. And, you know, so what I did, I remember calling Kurt Richards and I said, hey, Kurt, for me to build this, I got to create a sizzle call, a little 3-minute sizzle call. I've got to create an online presentation and I've got to create a, a basic getting started training. And I realized, because my time was so limited, guys, in this financial services business, and again, I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty details of it, but I was kind of locked in where I just wasn't able to get up and go. There were too many variables, and I was working anywhere from 12 to even 16-hour days when I started my ASEA business. If God had invented an 8-day week, I would have been working it. And I started actually coming home for lunch. It was about a 15-minute ride in the car, simply so I could use those 15 minutes in the privacy of my car to make some dials. And one of the things I had to do, because I was weaving this business into the cracks of the day. Sometimes, you know, when people are going on a smoke break, well, I don't smoke, but I would go up a few floors away from where our office was so I could make phone calls about ASEA in privacy. I'd sometimes pretend to go to the bathroom so I could make phone calls because I couldn't really be doing this in the place of business. And so I literally had to weave this business around the cracks of the day. I was making phone calls while I was walking my dog late at night. I'd figure out time zones of who I could talk last thing at night on the Pacific Coast and who I could talk to first thing in the morning on the East Coast. And I started strategically thinking like that. And again, I'll say it again, the cracks of the day. I love this industry because you can weave it into the cracks of the day. And I think a mistake a lot of people make is they spend too much time focusing on what they don't have. Well, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. Well, I had no time and I had no money. But what I did, I had a crack here and I had 15 minutes here. I had 10 minutes here. I had 5 minutes there. And phone services are so cheap, I had it switched on anyway. It wasn't costing me any more money to make a phone call. And so one of the most principles that I abide by is focus on what you do have, not what you don't. Focus on what you do have. Focus on the resources that you do have. Don't spend any time focusing on what you don't have. Don't let that be an excuse to rob you of success. And so I learned also the importance of leveraging tools. And I'd call people up and said, you know, I find something I'm really excited about. I had that raw enthusiasm. I've never seen anything like this. Do you have a quick 3 minutes? And I'd three-way into a sizzle call. And sometimes I'd stay on the line with them while I listened. Sometimes I'd make another call and call them back. And I'd always say the same thing. Hey, Terry, do you see why I'm excited? And that little follow-up phrase, it worked every time. Do you see why I'm excited? And if there were, I'd send them then to what used to be called discoverasea.com. Then we weren't allowed to use ASEA, so I called it amazingmolecules.com. And I used to send them to aseauniversity.com, which is now called amazingmolecules training.com. And that's how we built it, into the cracks of the day, working smart, focusing on what we did have, and quickly putting some tools together that would allow us to leverage the tools, let the tools do the telling for us. And that's how it started, Terry.
You know, that's pretty fascinating because you're talking about tools, and a lot of people listening today think about the tools we have, but the neat thing is you had to create it, and you're leveraging it because people, you know, people and personalities are not duplicatable, but tools are, and that's a great teaching point. Alan, being chairman of council and really being here since the inception of the company, you kind of shared about where we come from. Talk about where we're going and what you see. What's on the forefront? What do you see happening?
You know, that's the question that's on my mind right now. It's funny talking about this stuff of 2009 and then into 2010. And look, even just to continue, just one more point, Terry, on 2009. While I was still building in those early days, I actually had to go back to Ireland. My father ended up with a clean bill of health from drinking ASEA for 4 months. My wife had a 24-hour amazing turnaround with the product from a hip discomfort that she was having from the birth of my oldest daughter. And so we saw these great results. But I actually had to go back to Ireland for a period of time. And yet most people, again, could look at that and say, well, I'm in Ireland. We're not open in Europe. And the time zones, I can't work the business in America. And I said, well, focus on what you do have. And so I used to stay up till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. I started the vision call, and I ran the vision call for, gosh, it was almost 3 years straight, 150 calls back-to-back every Tuesday, even if I was in Ireland. We started the vision call, and I'd be doing the vision call from Ireland 2 o'clock in the morning. Why? Because I can. There's plenty of reasons not to do it, but all I needed was one reason to do it, and I had my reason to do it. Again, my gas tank was full. I was going to finish the journey. And so, you know, and the other thing I'd say to you is I remember our first vision calls. I mean, they were a joke. I remember doing the very, very first one, and we didn't really even know what we were talking about, but we started somewhere. I mean, we kind of almost nearly got too polished with them because we'd done so many of them. But the first ones were just like raw enthusiasm with very little content or even anything that was that accurate. But we started somewhere. And so many people, they just want to be perfect before they start, and they don't want to make a mistake, and it's like they're trying to tiptoe through the landmine without stepping on a landmine. You know, you can't just go stomping through the landmine. Who cares? You know, what's the worst thing can happen? Someone's going to say no to you. And I think, you know, perfectionism is absolutely the enemy of success. And anyway, so that's just a little side story, you know, getting started with the vision call. You kind of have me in a reminiscent mood right now, Terry, thinking back to 2009.
But I think the things you're hitting right now is a lot that sometimes I like to tell people we almost forget where we came from. And to hear your story, I think it brings it more real for the people listening in. I think this is fantastic stuff for people to hear. It goes back to the commitment level to your family and with what you needed to get done. I think it's just amazing. Thanks for sharing that.
Well, again, look, if you're wise, strong enough, you'll figure it out. And as long as you're not afraid to make some mistakes along the way, you know, Terry, one of my favorite quotes is from a girl called Sarah Blakely, and Sarah is the top CEO, or she's the youngest female billionaire in the United States, or actually I think in the world. And she founded the company Spanx, which are those kind of sucky in pants, the Lycra underwear that you like to wear. And so this girl, Sarah Blakely, she said the reason for her success, and remember we're talking about someone that's in the Fortune 500, you know, billionaires hall of fame here. The reason for her success was her father encouraged her to fail. Her father used to ask him every day, hey, what did you fail at? What did you fail at today? What did you fail at this week? And if they weren't failing at something, it meant they weren't pushing themselves. They weren't trying new things. They weren't exploring their capabilities. They were just sitting in a fat and happy comfort zone. And nothing happens there. And so I think one of the challenges that people have moving into this entrepreneurial space of network marketing is they totally, totally, totally misunderstand the concept of failure. Failure is not falling down, it's staying down. Failure is not getting something wrong. Failure is not trying. That's the definition of failure, simply not trying. That's the only way you can fail. It's not about the outcome. We get too focused on the outcome. We get too caught up in what somebody's going to say, yes or no. We should be absolutely fanatical about the process, about trying, about engaging, about doing. The outcome's irrelevant. The outcome will take care of itself. But we've attached this concept of failure to the outcome when, in fact, the concept of failure should be attached to the process or the non-process. It should be attached to not doing. It should be attached to not trying. And so this is something I'm passionate about. You know, write it down. Failure equals not trying. It's nothing to do with outcomes. It's everything to do with the process or not being engaged in the process. Okay, sorry, Terry. I was on a soapbox there. 2016, where are we going? I can give you the short answer, and that is I'm more excited about the next 5 years than I am about the last 5 years. And the last 5 years have been phenomenal. The last 5 years have seen product development, science development. We saw Renew 28. We saw expansion around the world. We saw growth in our company when, honestly, a lot of this industry is down right now. The network marketing industry is a little soft right now if you look at the global numbers. And yet we're strong. We're growing. We've grown every single year. We've added millionaires, we've added diamonds and double diamonds and triple diamonds, and we have added thousands and thousands of lives changed with our technology. It's been amazing. And yet it's only the tip of the iceberg. There's something very special about the timing we're in right now. If you imagine this idea that We're post-risk and pre-momentum. It's a golden window, post-risk, pre-momentum. You know, a lot of people don't necessarily want to get started with a young company because they're risky. You know, what's the statistic? Is it 80, 90% of companies go out of business in the first 5 years? They're risky. And so we're at this post-risk period of time, 5 years, officially five years old. Our product's proven. Our technology's proven. Our science is proven. Our manufacturing's proven. Our compensation plan's proven. Our management team's proven. Our international distribution is proven. This is not an experiment anymore. It's proven. It works. We know that. It's no longer, well, let's see what happens. No, it's already happened. It works. It's post-risk. But we're also at this place where we're pre-momentum. We're at this place. Momentum typically in our industry triggers at about $100 million a year. Now, that's not 2015. I believe 2016, if we all do what we're supposed to do in the field, and a large part of this is creating a culture of enrollments, but if we go out there and tell the most compelling story ever told in network marketing, the ASEA story, I believe if we pull together, we can make 2016 our first $100 million year. And that's exciting because that then becomes the tipping point, the trigger, into this more vertical growth in 2017, 18, 19, et cetera. And so we're right in this place, 12 months, 18 months, somewhere around there. We have this golden window of post-risk pre-momentum. And this is once-in-history timing. It's not going to come around again, not in this company, ASEA. And so I think, again, just like we don't take for granted this exceptional technology, this story that's never been told before, just like we don't take for granted this culture of integrity and principles, we should not take this timing for granted. I think anybody that does will absolutely regret it. And I always hear, I don't know if I can remember the quote to pull it out of my head here, but we always experience two pains in life, either the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The difference is the pain of discipline weighs ounces, whereas the discipline of regret weighs tons. And so it's better to put up with the pain of discipline, of getting out there and getting engaged, than suffer the pain of regret. So I'm very excited about where we're going, Terry. I think it's going to be an amazing year, and it's going to be the start of another amazing 5 years.
I think you're spot on. I've got a couple people, as a matter of fact, one in particular, and I won't bring up any names, but they always say they're at one point poking fun of me because I make the comment, get ready because it's coming. With or without you or me, this is coming because this is a company with a destiny. And the people in the field are starting to see that. Well, and this has been a fantastic call. If you don't mind, real quick, do you mind if we open up maybe for a couple questions?
No, happy to.
Okay, guys, as we open up, y'all can hit star six. Just come on, as y'all come on to state your name, where you're calling in from. And let's just maybe add a couple comments, a couple questions, and then Alan, and I'll have you close out, and we'll sign off. So if you have any questions or comments, hit star six. Come on the side, state your name, where you're calling in from.
Jim Glenn, San Antonio.
Big Jim.
Hey. Amazing call, Alan. That was absolutely, truly amazing. One of the best calls I think I've ever heard. Nothing against you, Terry, but absolutely fantastic. And I was not poking fun at you.
How'd you know it was you, man?
Hey, thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. I enjoyed our conversation a couple of weeks ago.
Right. Look forward to meeting you.
And, guys, I think that's a clear point, you know, what he brings up. It's also leveraging your tools, doing the same thing we're doing here. You don't always have to be the face of it. Just connect people to the right places. Anybody got any questions or comments? It's at star six. If you're speaking, we can't hear you. Okay, Alan, I think you just kind of either you put them to sleep or you fired them up.
I think I scared them all off, Terry. It's the Belfast accent. I got to tone it down. I got to speak Texan.
But you know what? Here's something I will say. When I made my decision to be a part of this company, it was truly important to me to be not only lined up with everything you said, but it was upline leadership. That was probably one of the most important things for me. I mean, falling in line, and we had our first conversation. I asked if you had kids, and you said, yes, I do. I have a 3-year-old girl and a 1-year-old daughter, and I truly appreciate meeting you the first time and how you've always presented this company, kept the integrity and the ethos of this company on the forefront without, risking doing the wrong thing as we move forward. So, Al, if you don't mind, if you just kind of close this out, take a minute or two and share with everybody, what's on your mind, and we'll kind of close this thing out.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you, Terry. Here's what's on my mind. Look, we're in the middle of December. We've got, 2 weeks or so left for the end of this year. We're about to hit Christmas week here soon, and then the New Year's. And then we're into 2016. And Terry and I, at the last advisory council, we at the very end of that, Tyler Norton came into this advisory council and just shared a few words with us. And those words have really stuck with me in something he said. And it kind of ties in with a training that he gave that I referenced earlier, the 6 Ds, this idea of deciding what it is you want and, figuring out what it is you desire and then decide and declare it, create a solemn promise to yourself, like a declaration of what it is you've desired. And then devote yourself to it like a daily devotional, and then develop, equivalent of surrounding yourself, and then deliver. When you deliver, the equivalent of freedom, liberation, when you deliver what it is you desire, you free yourself. It's liberation. And that training that he gave in Vision really, really stayed with me, even though it was the third time I'd heard it. The old story, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And I was just in a place in my own ASEA career where I was really thinking about, well, what's my fuel in the tank? I mean, 6.5 years is, it's actually quite a long time. And I was thinking, what's the fuel in my tank? What's my desire to go the next 5 years? And I really started thinking about that. And I started spending some time just quietly going for walks, just pondering this subject of what is my desire. If you're getting started brand new in ASEA, you've got to figure it out just as much as I've got to figure it out for what's my desire for the next 5 years. We all have to put that fuel in our tank, or we're going to run out of gas and be trying to drive on fumes by mid-January. And so that's the starting place, is figuring out what it is you want. And Tyler pointed out in the advisory council in his little talk to us, he said, there's something magical about a new year. It's kind of like a new growth, a rebirth, a new beginning. And you can put all of your challenges and regrets, and I was going to use the word failures, but I don't want to use that word given my past little lecture on it. So, things that maybe you feel you could have done better, don't beat yourself up anymore. It's a new year. It's a new birth. 2015, there's nothing you can do about it. It's in the past. And he said, there's something magical about having your declaration of what it is you desire, having that clearly written, clearly articulated, having it written down on a piece of paper as your declaration, just like the Declaration of Independence, the birth of this country, the declaration for you for 2016 in your ASEA business. What is it that you desire? And when you have it written down, if you don't have it written down, when the clock strikes midnight on New Year's Eve, you've missed an opportunity. And he says in his experience, when you miss that opportunity, you can never quite get it back again. It's like you're never quite prepared for 2016. You spend January trying to just catch up. You're getting going. You never quite get it written down. You never get round to it. And like a leaf blown in the wind, the opportunity's gone. And so what I would encourage everybody to do is two things. Take some time. Go out for a walk. Sit by yourself. Turn the iPad off, turn Facebook off, turn Skype off, turn the television off. We seem so afraid of silence these days. And get mindful. Become aware. Start asking yourself, what is the fuel in my tank? What do I desire? Get tremendous clarity on that, and then write it down. Write a beautiful declaration to yourself, something that will inspire you when you read it first thing in the morning and last thing at night every day in 2016. But you got to have it finished, just like Cinderella. You got to have it finished by midnight. It's got to be done by midnight. And if it's not, you've missed an amazing opportunity. That's what Tyler shared with us, and it really struck a chord with me. And so with that, I'm working on that. I know Terry's working on that. Many, many other leaders are. And it's interesting that only about 10% of people will actually do this. And yet, they're the same 10% that are known as the overachievers. They're the same 10% that make 90% of the income in this industry. And these are the secrets, but it's whether you want to act on them or not. So, Terry, that's, I guess, what I'd like to close with.
Alan, absolutely fantastic. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule for popping on tonight's call. Guys, get this out to your people as soon as you possibly can. It'll be recorded for the next 7 days, and we'll be here at the next time, same bat place, same bat time next Monday. So you guys have a great rest of your week. Look forward to seeing you on the highway. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you so much, Terry. Appreciate your leadership and the tremendous leadership in your team. Thank you.